This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by singer-songwriter and artist Rebecca Todd. Rebecca, how's it going?
Going well. Thank you so much for having me, Walter.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. So, Rebecca, you're actually working on your sophomore album, your sophomore full-length called Crooked Lines, and you've got a set date, release date for it for February 17th, 2017. Tell me a little bit about kind of like the writing process on this album and what kind of led to its inception.
Okay. Yeah, so this album, we put our first full length out in 2014. So it's been, by the time it's coming out, it's going to be a 3-year gap, but really it feels like a 2-year gap. You know, we started recording in May of this year. And the songs they all had different stories of how they came to birth. Some of them were just things that I wrote on my acoustic. Some of them were times when we were performing on the road and we just sort of wrote things while we were out. So they all were a little different. I'm sort of growing into being with a full band. I'm coming from being just a solo artist. So this album, you can feel some of the songs still have my original folky roots, and some of the songs are getting a lot more into rock and blues and even funk on our single that we released. So, yeah.
Very nice. What is it like for you, I guess, on a personal level, you know, transitioning from a solo artist to having that backing band behind you? Do you find that it's stressful dealing with other people, or did it kind of come together pretty well?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's definitely, you know, any time in any job when you're working with other people and their schedules, especially musicians, because many musicians have actual jobs that they do during the day, and then you have to, or maybe even families or whatever, you have to schedule around everything. So it can be a bit stressful. When I was a solo artist, I would literally say, okay, I feel like going on tour for 3 weeks, done, and I would just block off my schedule and get in my car and go. And now, obviously, it's a lot more complicated than that, but the return that you get is great. A lot of festivals, larger festivals, won't book solo artists on a main stage, you know, because they feel that they're too small, which I have my qualms with, but I understand where they're coming from, and it's important for them for you to have, like, a full band. And it also allows me to free myself up musically and focus on singing, which is where my passion is, and I'm able to be more of a performer and really interact with the audience. It makes it really fun.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about who or what fostered your love of music. I know that, you play guitar. I think you play some other instruments as well. So vocalist, tell me a little bit about what got you involved in music. What was kind of the catalyst?
Sure. I really have been musical from the very beginning. Like, we have videos of me when I was 2 or 3, and I just loved music. No one really pushed me into it. No one forced me to try and be a musician. It was just naturally what I liked to do. And I got involved early on. I was grew up in a very small town where there were a lot of churches. There were only 3,000 people in the town, and there were 30 churches for 3,000 people. So you can imagine it's a tiny town in the South. And I had a friend invite me to a Pentecostal Holiness Church, which is where they're like playing the tambourines and singing at the top of their lungs. And I loved it because they were such passionate singers. And I kind of, you know, found myself going to church all the time because I just loved the way they sang. And that's what started it for me. Of course, you know, later in life, I thought it was cool, and I thought I could get the boys if I learned how to play guitar. So I tried to learn how to play guitar.
It works sometimes.
The truth comes out.
Absolutely. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So being around, you know, the Pentecostal church, because I grew up Pentecostal myself.
Oh.
So, like, being that you were exposed to it, what are your, I guess, your thoughts on religion and spirituality? Would you say that, you know, you are, I guess, more spiritual as a result of, you know, being exposed to these churches at a young age, or mm-hmm. is it something that you just kind of look at as like a milestone in your development?
Definitely both. That's funny that you grew up in the same, like, realm of the religious sect, because it's a very specific way to grow up, you know? Yeah, and you see a lot of things. And, I mean, I grew up in that church, and then I was, like, a camp counselor at an Advent Christian place for a while. And then I took a lot of courses in religious studies and world religions and started to think, like, oh, you know, I need to explore. Maybe there's more out there. And I just did all this traveling and stuff. And now it's both. It's a milestone in my life where I'm like, that was a time where I learned quite a bit. And it was a time where I saw things that I liked and I saw a lot of things that I didn't like. And I've sort of started to form my own opinion since then, where I, you know, I'm totally in belief of something greater. I just don't know what to call it anymore, but it's definitely there for me, you know.
Awesome. Hey, that's good. I mean, it's something, I interview other artists, you know, as well, and it's, you know, just depending on the person and the circumstances, it's like, you know, it could either, you know, scare you away or...
Oh, yeah.
So it's always interesting to see what people's take, you know, on it is and how it's just affected their life, you know.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm, like, having flashbacks of all the... You see a lot of stuff, yeah.
You sure do. Man, it's definitely not your average, just run-of-the-mill, you know.
No.
You never know what you're going to see or hear.
You really don't. It's true. That's so funny.
So tell me a little bit more. I want to kind of dig a little bit deeper into your upbringing. I know that you were born in Benton, North Carolina, and you had been, I guess, exposed to music, you know, since you were young. Would you say that the area that you grew up in helped to kind of shape and define your style as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, growing up there was quite a bit of bluegrass, which was something I was exposed to, and a lot of roots music is really the best way I can describe it. Tons of blues everywhere. Country, bluegrass, and rock. And then my father was really into just, like, more classic rock. He would, if we had a long road trip, he took that as the opportunity for us to listen to the entire Dark Side of the Moon album front to back on blast, you know? So I grew up listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and Eric Clapton and Janis Joplin. Like, he just exposed me to a lot of that, which I really loved. And then I later started getting into more soul and Aretha Franklin and Ray Charles and, you know, you name it. So,
man, that is awesome.
And I enjoy all of it. And, you know, being in North Carolina, bluegrass is a big part of it. You go out to Asheville, North Carolina, and bluegrass is huge. And there's some super talented musicians, you know. And then, of course, I had my teenage years where I really enjoyed, like, heavier metal, which is sort of a weird time in my life, but I really like hardcore and all that. So
yeah.
I've been all over the place.
Same way, actually. I was the same exactly right.
mm-hmm. It seems like the natural progression, so it's fine.
Absolutely. So you're, I want to jump ahead a little bit. Your newest single, Hustle, it's streaming Spotify, which I think is just amazing. You're welcome. Tell me a little bit about the single. What is, I guess, the meaning behind the song? What kind of went into it? What does it mean to you as the song's creator?
Sure. So Hustle was written, I was dating a guy who had moved into town and he was trying to find a job that you know, could help him make ends meet, basically. And he had about four jobs at one time. And he wasn't sleeping at all. And I was a full-time musician, so, you know, he would get up really early to go off to his job, and musicians don't really work in the mornings. They usually work at night. So I would sit here at my home in the morning and write. And one day he left, and I just started playing on my acoustic, and I started singing the hook, Hustle Daddy, Hustle Mom, you know, and then I wrote the whole song. And the band loved it because it's kind of got, like, that funky vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And then it was just amazing to watch the song continue to grow and grow and grow and progress. We went into the studio and were lucky enough to get Marcus Anderson, who is, I believe he's from North Carolina. He was the horn player for Prince for quite a while, and he just happened to be in North Carolina at the time, and my producer called him up and said, hey, man, do you want to come in here and lay some horns down on this album, on this track that we've got? So he said, sure, and he laid down the horn tracks for Hustle. So, you know, that was really cool for us, and it definitely added quite a bit to the song, added some flavor for sure.
Absolutely. Man, that is awesome. It's always just unique to hear how, you know, a song is crafted, you know. I mean, I think we all have similar life experiences in terms of just, you know, the day-to-day stuff like working, trying to get by, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I find that musicians and artists, they are able to highlight those things, those nuances that we all have, and, mm-hmm. you know, make it into something relatable, you know, that, you know, relates to people, you know, of all walks of life, you know. I think it's amazing, you know.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I think that's our job, really, as artists. It's your job to filter. For me, all it is that I feel like I'm supposed to be doing for people and any artist, it's our job to take in life and allow ourselves to feel it all, which can sometimes be a burden because it's not all fun to feel, but you have to feel it all, process it all, and then spit it back out and turn it into something that is digestible for the public and to show the public what life looks like. That's what artists are here to do. So that's a huge compliment when someone tells me that something is, like, relatable, because that's my job, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I kind of felt like that was kind of like what the song was about. It was like a, you know, person, you know, working, trying to get ahead, but you know, oftentimes, you know, musicians will say, you know, well, the song is open for interpretation. And so mm-hmm. I felt that, like, listening to it. And I, you know, it's like I can kind of relate to what your boyfriend was going through, you know, because I've had, you know, to work, you know, two and three jobs at a time, and it's not fun.
No.
It sucks. And so, yeah, I think that is just, you know, to be able to just explore that, you know, it really, you know, you're not really addressing a niche, but you're, you know, you're actually, you know, reaching a broad audience, because, you know, a lot of people can relate to having to do that.
Thing,
so.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. We're going to be releasing a music video in probably a couple weeks to a month, and it's for Hustle. And we went out and filmed, like, all kinds of people. We went to a pizza shop and got a guy flipping a pizza dough. And we went out on the street and found street musicians, you know, playing on the street, trying to make a dollar. So it's going to be good. I'm excited for people to see it.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Tell me, you know, I've never made a music video. And I think that the art and the concept behind music videos are so interesting. So what is it like, I guess, creating a music video? Is it, I would assume it's similar to creating a song, but maybe I'm wrong. But
no.
what is it like?
Yeah, it's been interesting for me. I'm working with a French videographer. His name's Jesse Gagne, and he lives in Wilmington, North Carolina right now. And he went to film school in France. And, you know, every videographer has their own idea of how they want to do it. And he definitely has a more artistic flair, which I appreciated because, you know, if I'm going to put it out, I want it to have some artistic flair to it. And we kind of started off with some ideas, just like a song. We started off with very bare bones. And then as we went along, just like the song Hustle, we got lucky. And we went out on the street and thought we were only going to film this one person who we were specifically meeting. And then we got lucky and looked around, and there were all these other people that were playing music on the street. And we said, hey, can we film you? Will you be in our music video? And we ended up getting like 5 street musicians. And, you know, it's just like when I was in the studio and the producer said, hey, let me get this horn player for Prince a call. And I'm like, yeah, awesome. So we just, you know, it's like a lot of creativity and pushing and also getting lucky, I think.
Absolutely. Man, that was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Cause music videos, I mean, it's an amazing art form. I mean, if you just look at, you know, the original concept of MTV, it was, you know, amazing being able to, you know, visualize, you know, the concept of a song, you know what I mean? I think even to this day, you know, it's just really, really cool to see people, you know, their take on their own songs and kind of the conceptualization behind, you know, each song, you know, because, you know, a music video, like a single, takes on its own legs and its own life, and so it's always really cool to see how those play out.
Yeah, I'm excited to release it and get whatever feedback comes, because you never know with anything, music or video, you never know what people are going to say when you put it out there, so it's always a little scary.
I understand. Absolutely. So you had a really successful Kickstarter campaign. I think you raised over $30,000, which is very impressive. Tell me about that. Like, was it? I'm sure it was quite innovating, you know, putting it all together. At any point, was it nerve-wracking? Were you afraid that you wouldn't reach your goal?
Oh, my goodness. Was I? That's such a funny question to me. Yes, so we started recording in May, like May 1st, and I also, on about the same day, started my Kickstarter, which basically translates to I was in the studio spending money that I didn't have.
Ooh.
And I was sitting there, like, while the guitar player was in there recording his guitar tracks, I was on my computer posting about the Kickstarter and emailing businesses and companies and friends and family and anything I could think of I was doing. I was printing out flyers and, you know, printing 4 to a page and sitting there with a paper cutter just cutting the flyers all day long so I could hand them out at shows and hand them out to people that came up to the merch booth. The month of May was insane for us. We played 21 gigs. We put out We recorded our album, most of it, and we raised $32,000.
Wow.
And, yeah, I was a psychopath. My band did not want to speak to me in the studio because I would just freak out. If they said anything to me, I would just freak out. And, you know, they knew, like, Rebecca's really stressed out right now. Just don't talk to her.
Yeah. I hear you.
Bring her some coffee and leave her alone.
Man, that is crazy.
I know. Oops. My bad.
Hey, it happens. It happens.
It worked out. That's right.
So has your family and your friends been supportive of, you know, your decision to, spend your life, you know, as a musician? Because I know that, you know, true artistry and musicianship, you know, is not just a job. It's more of a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Have you found that your family's been really supportive of what you're doing?
I have. I'm so fortunate to be able to say that I have from a very, very young age. I think that, you know, my parents are awesome, and they never – some parents have expectations before their child is even born of what they want their kid to be, you know, and my parents didn't. They were, like, allowing me to be whoever I was, and it was very obvious from a young age that music was the only thing I cared about, music and drawing and, you know, doodling and stuff. That was all I did. And I was a weirdo, like, my whole life. And, yeah, everybody, I don't think it was ever a question of what I was going to be. And I was very driven also. Nobody ever had to tell me what to do because I was already doing it. I was, like, three steps ahead. You know, the only thing they had to tell me to do was clean my room because I was pretty bad about that. But other than that, I was usually working on some weird project in my room creating something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Creativity. Creativity is a really good thing.
Yeah. It has its ups and downs. Yeah, no, but I'm very fortunate.
I hear you. As an artist, what would you say is, like, your most enjoyable thing about, I guess, doing what you do? Is it the performing aspect, or is it the recording and the writing? The traveling? What would you say?
So far, it's the performing for the audience and having people come up to you afterwards and say things like, you know, I really needed that. That was very inspiring to me. That part makes it all worth it, all the grinding and the struggling. And then, yeah, travel for me it's been a huge part of my life. And I've been doing this now for 10 years. And, you know, when I started, I was super green, and I was out there by myself just driving around the country, a lot of times by myself in my car and meeting the most interesting people, and I have so many stories, and it's been an awesome experience, and that's where I pull a lot of my creativity from is all the traveling that I've done. So it's definitely my favorite part of being a musician is kind of just getting to travel for free, sort of, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it comes with its sacrifices, and you can't really lay roots down anywhere because you're constantly on the go, but it has its perks as well.
Goodness, okay. What would you say is the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from your music? I know that you know, a lot of artists, like I said earlier, will, you know, they'll put it to, they want their work to be interpretive, you know, open-ended. What would you say is, I guess, the biggest message or takeaway that?
Man, that's the hardest question always. What message do I want people to take from the music? I mean, you know, my music is definitely, I'm trying to inspire people. I'm trying to give people hope while also telling my own personal story. You know, Hustle, I have a line in there that's like, if it knocks you down, you have to stand up taller. If the door doesn't open with your hands, use your shoulder, which for me is just like, it's a good reflection of how I've been working this past year on this album. And I had so many people tell me, like, oh my gosh, raising $30,000 is, number one, impossible. Number two, it's ridiculous. Who needs that much money for an album? And, you know, you just have to, like, politely smile at people that tell you that they don't agree with what you're doing or the way you're doing it, because they don't know, and it's not their fault that they don't know. They just don't know. So you have to be nice, you have to smile, and you have to say thank you for your input. I will give it some consideration, and then you got to go and do you, you know, and show them, prove them wrong, basically. So I guess right now, at this point in my life, my inspiration that I would like to give others is to just do what feels right to you and don't worry about what anybody else thinks.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing that you can do, you know. I mean, because a life, you know, free of the opinion of others is a life well lived. So I think, yeah, I think you're onto something there.
Thank you. No, that's a great quote. I like that.
Thank you. So the significance behind your album's title, your forthcoming album, Crooked Lines, what's the meaning behind that? Is there like a story or?
Yeah, for sure. We touch on Crooked Lines. There's some lyrics that touch on that in a song called Can't Sleep, which you'll be able to hear when the album comes out on February 17th. But Crooked Lines, for me, it sort of comes from a lot of things. One of those includes just all the driving hours and, you know, you're following this white crooked line down the highway for what seems like forever and maybe for my entire life. I might be following this highway line for my entire life, which would be a life well lived, in my opinion. But anyway, the artist's path, any entrepreneur or artist or self-employed person is their own boss, and they have to make their own decisions every day of how to be what they consider successful and how to reach their goals. And when there's not a path set out in front of you, you tend to kind of weave back and forth, and, you know, you hit roadblocks and you have to turn the other way and start again or whatever. And we end up forging what might look like a crooked line by the time you're able to turn around and look back and see the line behind you. You're like, oh, you know, I had to make all these adjustments along the way, but it makes you that much stronger. So, yeah, that's the meaning behind Crooked Lines for me.
Absolutely. Man, that's some good, yeah, that's, I like that. That's really good observation. Yeah. No, it really
Thanks.
Is. You're welcome. So you had some really talented other fellow musicians that worked on, you know, the album as well as your single. You mentioned Marcus Anderson earlier, who, you know, is associated with the late, great Prince.
Yeah.
Working with Marcus, did you guys gel pretty well? Like,
man, he is such a pro. I actually, and this happens a lot, I actually never met him in person. We literally sent him the song, and he had his own studio, and within, like, 48 hours, he sent all of that back to us.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know. I was like, this isn't real. This cannot be real. And the producer was like, oh, it's real. He's just that good.
Man,
he's impressive. He's a beast.
Yeah. He must have gotten his work ethic from Prince, because I heard that Prince was like that, you know, like he could just, you know, just freaking, you know, shell out music left and right, you know. And
yeah.
Apparently there's like still vaults full of his music that was just like not even released, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that, man, that's some dedication.
No, so impressive, and it really makes you think, like, man, I got to step up my game.
Well, Rebecca, thank you. I want to thank you so much for joining on today's show, and I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to just open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful. And mostly, yeah, just check out Hustle on Spotify right now. You can stream it exclusively through Spotify. And then on February 17th, we're going to be releasing the whole album. But until then, you can pre-order it on iTunes. So feel free to hop over to iTunes and, you know, check out everything that's going on there. We have Facebook, Instagram, website, all that good stuff. So let's connect.
Awesome. And speaking of which, I meant to ask, where can our listening audience find out more about you and keep abreast of what you're doing? How can they keep track of you on social media?
Sure. Facebook is just Rebecca Todd and the Odyssey. We also use Instagram, Twitter. We're on Snapchat. So there's plenty of ways, whatever way you're more comfortable with, we're probably doing it. So.
Awesome. Hey.
Yeah.
Good. That's good. I mean, you know this for a fact, but, you know, it's always good when you can, when you're able to communicate, like, with your audience and, you know, share with them, you know, what's on your mind and what you're working on. I mean, it helps people to stay connected, so.
Absolutely. I agree.
Awesome. Well, Rebecca, I just want to say thank you so much again, and I just really appreciate it. This was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Thank you, Walter, for having me, and I hope to work with you again soon.
Likewise.
Yay. Cool. Well, have a great day, and thanks again for chatting with me about my album.
Oh, no problem. It was a blast.
Cool. Well, take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Guys, that was singer-songwriter Rebecca Todd. You can check out her website. We'll put it in the link at the bottom of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your mobile phone or your mobile device. Download the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the Google Play as well as the iTunes Store. Download the app, search for Shannon and Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Rebecca as well as many, many others. We're also available on Roku. If you've got a Roku device, you can listen to us in the privacy of your home with over 200 hours of original programming and content all from us.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.